I did forget one announcement. I want to absolutely welcome Dean back. We missed him so much. Let's give him a hand for being back with us. Okay, well, last week we revisited our brand new First Unity vision and mission statements, and they're printed on your bulletins, and also they're on the screen. And remember, the vision addresses our absolute vision for the world, what we see as the greatest possible expression in the entire world. So let's affirm our vision together, and let's just say it like we mean it. Ready? In oneness of spirit, we celebrate a world awakened to divine, infinite possibilities. And the infinite possibilities are absolutely divine. And the mission, our mission actually says how we are going to move forward to make that vision happen. So let's read our mission statement together. It's on the right of the screen. Together, we are a vibrant, inclusive spiritual community, enriching lives through positive prayer, education, and service. And finally, our core values. Remember, those are the values that we hold the most dear as a spiritual community. They're a framework for every single thing we do in our ministry. I want to thank Carla Reel, who's been playing and working with us on these wonderful graphics. And we'll start at the top of the circle and move our way around clockwise. So our core values are, together, spirit-led, love, oneness, acceptance, welcoming, and spiritual growth. So today we're beginning a series of lessons based on our six core values, those values that, as I said, we hold the most dear. And we'll begin with our first one, which is spirit-led. So what does it mean to be spirit-led? What does that mean? Well, our core value team met this week, and we've been working with creating definitions and some behaviors for each core value, and here's what we came up with. We transcend our human identity and claim our spiritual identity by aligning with and living in awareness of infinite spirit. Now, transcend, that means to go beyond the range or limits of. So, if we think we are only human, we are suffering from a case of mistaken identity, because we are so much more than our human identity. And in the words of the French philosopher and Jesuit priest, Teilhard de Chardin, I did not take 4 years of French for nothing, I can say the word Chardin, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Now, if we are spiritual beings, this means our true divine nature is absolute wholeness. That is who we are. Now, our human bodies might become sick at times, and we might sometimes on the human realm experience unhappiness and lack, but these are not who we really are. And Jesus proved again and again that healing is possible simply because, in essence, we are spiritual beings. Healing is the art of releasing innate spiritual power and demonstrating the remarkable wholeness of life. Jesus taught, actually, that we live in two worlds, but not in succession, as it was commonly believed in his day, but at the same time. And we've looked at this before. Those two worlds are the world of the absolute realm and the world of the relative realm. Now, the absolute realm is that eternal, unchanging, spiritual realm of divine principle. It's the realm of all divine ideas and all good, including wholeness and life in their purity and power. It is actually the realm of infinite possibilities. Also, as we well know, we live in a relative realm, the realm of temporary appearances, a three-dimensional world of time and space and form and shape. And in this world, we can have fluctuating experiences of sickness and health, peace and war, harmony and chaos. However, there is really good news. And the really good news is a spiritual law. And the law is that any condition in the relative plane has the potential, can be healed and transformed as we make that connection with the absolute. As spiritual beings, we are never, ever separate from our source, no matter how it might look on the outer. So, being spirit-led means we align with and live in awareness of the divine. And this is a conscious choice in our lives. Moment by moment, we absolutely turn our minds, our souls, to the infinite. Now, many of you will remember this from our Lessons in Truth class a little while ago, and that is human nature is threefold, made up of spirit, soul, and what? Body. Spirit, soul, and body. Okay, spirit is our highest self. It is our reality. It is the indwelling Christ, the Christ within. It is our individualized divine mind. Okay? Eric Butterworth writes, "Spirit in you is you. Spirit in you is you. It is the whole of you, which you may be expressing only in part." And our second aspect, as we've said, is soul. Now, in Unity, we define soul as consciousness. Emily Cady called our soul our mortal mind, to contrast or distinguish between divine mind, God. The soul is our intellect, and it includes both conscious and subconscious minds. And it's like a channel. I guess the best description in this day and age would be to say it's like a hard drive. It's always ready to receive information. However, just like a computer hard drive, it only holds what it has been fed. And it has no ability to distinguish between truth and falsehood. So ideally, the soul turns to spirit. The soul turns to spirit to just receive inspiration and divine intelligence. However, the soul has a very peculiar characteristic, one that I can't show on a flat slide, and that is our soul is pivotal. It can turn to spirit, as it was intended to be, or it can turn, guess where? To the outer world. That's exactly right, to the physical world. And when it returns to the physical world, it perceives only what our senses tell us. It takes in data from the relative world, and that data is always incomplete, and it's always temporary. So, turning to spirit, we have all the truths of the absolute, wholeness and power and love and all ideas, and that's what we need to learn to practice turning our soul toward. When we are spirit-led, this is the way it works. We turn to spirit within, we receive this perfect divine love and peace and power, and then we store that in our souls and we send that out to our physical bodies and to all physicality. Emily Cady writes, "We must hold all aspects of our nature as if it were one, because it is, if we want to be whole and powerful and strong. We must react to inner divine prompting instead of reacting to everything that's appearing in front of us." When you think about it, if we react to everything that happens to us during the day, we become slaves to everyone and every situation we meet. We're like that leaf in the wind, just floating around from thing to thing, instead of staying centered in the divine identity that we are. Katie also says, and this might be good news to some of us, if you find this subject confusing and puzzling, don't worry about it. Because if we drop it for a time, it takes a while to kind of take this in, someday the understanding of how this works will flash suddenly on you with perfect clarity. And the important point is, you can turn your thoughts away from external challenges and toward the spiritual, and let them dwell on the good in yourself and in others, and all the apparent lack in your life in every way will first drop out of your thoughts and then drop out of your life. That's the way the spiritual law works. And this is exactly what Paul meant when he wrote to the Philippians in 4:16, one of our Bible verses that we really use a lot in Unity, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Because when we think about those things, we are thinking about the goodness of God. And Katie says, we can all learn how to turn that conscious mind toward universal mind or spirit within us. We can, by practice, learn how to make every day topsy-turvy mind be still and let the mind that is God, the mind that is all wisdom, all love, think in us and through us and as us. Now, it's also good to remember that omnipresent power of God expresses in many ways. It expresses in many avenues. And as we ourselves are able to go into the silence, turn within, and align with all the powers of God, we actually become one of the avenues through which the divine expresses. We are avenues of divine energy. And we become God's channels on this earth for whatever love, faith, healing, or abundance needs to express in that now moment. That's what Jesus meant when he said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And I believe that's what it means to be spirit-fed and therefore spirit-led. And it's really essential that we set this intention to make sure that all of our ministry at First Unity is based on this important core value of being spirit-led. So toward that end, the core value team has created some community and individual behaviors. This is part of our planning process. And we begin. So here they are. Here are the community behaviors. Skipping that for now. Here are the community behaviors. We begin all of our gatherings with prayer. Now, we mostly do that, I think, at First Unity, all of our gatherings here. It doesn't mean that, you know, the groups that rent our building do that, but we do that as we come together as a spiritual community. But sometimes we forget, and sometimes we pray quickly and we say, okay, the prayer's over, now let's get down to business, you know? So we're going to try to refocus ourselves on this idea of beginning every meeting in spiritual space. And the others are that cultivating communion with the divine, we teach spiritual principles and practice sacred service. When you think about it, prayer is communicating with the divine. Prayer is our ability to turn from the outer world and just absolutely commune with spirit. That's what prayer really is. And also then, we consistently provide opportunities to deepen and expand understanding of unity principles and how to align with them. We do this for children and for adults. This is what we do as a spiritual community. And last but not least, guided by spirit, we act from our divine identity. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. So when you think about it, all of our community behaviors have to do with unity principles, don't they? With principles of truth. They're bigger than unity principles. Principles of truth. And a century after our co-founders, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, talked, wrote about, and proved the principles, their great-granddaughter, Connie Fillmore, was asked to articulate and summarize these truth principles that the Fillmores had held so dear. And the result was what came to be known as a little booklet called The Five Principles. And it was outlined in 1990, and the whole booklet was called Keys to the Kingdom, Five Fundamentals of Truth. Jane, I think we have some of these, do we not, in our bookstore? If not, we'll get them, okay? And we'll get these if anybody wants them. It's a great little concise book. It has poetry and prose in it about each of the five principles. And a more current book that many of you know is Ellen Davenport's book, The Five Principles, A Guide to Practical Christianity. And again, there were some in our bookstore. If they're gone, we'll order more. So what I'm going to do today is just briefly review these principles because I know many of you know them. And we're going to do an in-depth exploration of the five principles on August 26th in our Unity 101 class. So if you want to come and explore how these really work in your lives, please join us. So, and I'd like for you to help me state the principles as we put each one up because I like that communal energy with them. So I invite you to affirm our principle number one that we've already addressed in today's daily word, but we're going to readdress it. And it is, together, God is the source and creator of all. There is no other enduring power. God is good and present everywhere. And so when we affirm this power, this principle, we're saying there's only one, right? Not two powers, and that God is absolute good. God is unlimited, perfect, and eternal love. I always think of Jo Warren, who always said, let's talk about the three omnis, she would say. And what she meant is, spirit is absolutely omnipresence, meaning there is no place we can ever go that God is not. Spirit is omnipotence, pure power. Nothing is impossible in the absolute realm of God. That's a tenet of the Prayer Chaplain program, that no matter what our outer conflict seems to be, nothing is impossible. All things are possible with God. And finally and last, omniscience, which is all knowingness, all wisdom. We are one with divine mind. And so for our first church community, moment by moment, decision by decision, thought by thought, I'm posing some questions that we can think about in order to know if we really are aligned in these principles. So here's my question for the first one. In this situation, in this decision, in this event, are we affirming divine love, intelligence, and power? Are we remembering who and what we are, and who and what the divine is? Okay, ready for principle number two together? We are spiritual beings created in God's image. The Spirit of God lives within each person. Therefore, all people are inherently good. Created in God's image and likeness, how can we be anything but spirit? God is spirit and we are spirit. How can we be, in essence, anything but good? We have free will. We can vary from that good, but that is who we really are. Jesus taught again and again, the kingdom of heaven is in your midst. The kingdom of heaven is where? Within. The kingdom of heaven is within. And so, through our own indwelling Christ, the spirit of us, we are individualized expressions of God. So the question for our spiritual community becomes, or at least a question, is in this moment, in this decision, in this incident, are we beholding the Christ in ourselves and others? Are we operating from that Christ consciousness? And principle number three has to do with consciousness. Let's share that one together. Ready? We create our life experiences through our way of thinking. We are co-creators with God, creating reality through our thoughts, beliefs, and feelings. Remember that pivotal soul, that it can turn to the problem or it can turn to God? That's really what the golden key is all about, that we've talked about before. So this is the principle that says thoughts held in mind reproduce their own kind in our consciousness. So if we hold thoughts of love, we're going to tend to see love in our environment. We're going to draw ourselves to that love. If we hold thoughts of discord, then that's what we're going to draw ourselves to. So, and our other saying about that is, where our attention goes, energy flows. So we need to be really careful about where our attention is focused. So our community question becomes, do we take responsibility for our thoughts, attitudes, and focus in this situation? In other words, are we focused on divine truth? Okay, number four, one that we practice a lot in Unity and at First Unity. Would you share that one with all together? Ready? Prayer is creative thinking that heightens our connection with God mind and therefore brings forth wisdom, healing, prosperity, and everything good. Prayer conditions our own consciousness and opens us up to the goodness of God, because the goodness of God is always there, no matter what we might be seeing. Ellen Davenport writes, prayer is the time we take to focus, to align ourselves with the divine, and to affirm that whatever we need is already ours. And so the question for our spiritual community becomes, are we aligned in awareness of spirit's infinite possibilities before we act? Before we act, are we fully aligned with all that spirit is and does? And for our last principle, I want to revisit a riddle that some of you know, I think. And you have to pay really close attention because there's math involved here, okay? All right, here we go. Five frogs were sitting in the middle of the lake on a big log, and one frog named Frida decided she would jump into the lake, okay? Five frogs, Frida decides to jump in the lake. How many frogs are left? Yeah, five, and why? Because Frida didn't jump, she only decided to jump. That's exactly right. Deciding isn't doing, and there comes a time when we have to take all these principles we know and put them into action. And isn't that honestly in our human skins sometimes hard? I mean, it's so wonderful to pray and meditate and listen to this beautiful music and come to church on Sunday morning and hear Dean sing. That's all so inspiring. But there comes a time that we need to act. There comes a time that we need to go out and be that in the world. And so principle number five is, I must have skipped principle number five. Sorry about that. All right, I'll read it to you and you can repeat it with me. Ready? Knowledge of the spiritual principles is not enough. We must live them together. Knowledge of the spiritual principles is not enough. We must live them. In other words, we often say in Unity, we must walk the talk. Practice the truth we know. And so our community decisions, I swear that slide was there a few minutes ago. Let me see if I can find it. No? Okay. Sorry. Slide disappeared. Okay, for the speed readers among us, there's a review of today's lesson. All right. Well, so the question for number five is, are we coming together to live the principles, to be God an expression in our church and in our world, in our community? And that's what we're all about. That's where the service part comes in, doesn't it? We're here not only to deepen our own souls and to grow spiritually, but also to be God's expression and service in the world. And so, let's all really try to come together today to remember something we talked about last week, and that's what's on the slide now. Intellectual learning is not going to get us to spiritual understanding. Some of us love to read and study and define and debate, and that's all well and good, but that alone is not going to get us there. Spiritual truths are not discerned in a book, a class, or even a Sunday lesson, not even when all the slides appear, okay? It's not there. Charles Fillmore said, if you want eternal truth, you must seek it in your own heart. And so together, we come together as a spiritual community in a new beginning as we begin to really rely on our core values, to live our vision and mission, and we seek the light and inspiration of the truth within us, and we know that we are divinely guided, and it's a great time for us in First Unity. So those core values that we generated did lead us to some individual behaviors, and you know, I at first kind of resisted this idea of writing individual behaviors, which is part of this process, because I thought, well, who am I to write your individual behaviors, or who is this committee to decide that? And yet then we thought, well, we need a model. We need a model to look at. So I'd like to ask all of you just to prayerfully consider these individual behaviors and know that you have within your heart the guidance and the discernment to know what your behaviors are to really be aligned with this principle of being spirit-led. So here are the behaviors. Those are our community behaviors. Let's review them again. We begin all gatherings with prayer. Cultivating communion with the divine, we teach spiritual principles and practice sacred service. There's the service part. We consistently provide opportunities to deepen and expand understanding of unity principles and our alignment with them. And guided by spirit, we act from our divine identity. Which principle is that? We're going to think of that as the frog principle. That's number five, right? That we're going to act the truth that we know. And here then are the individual behaviors. I take life's celebrations and challenges into prayer. Paul said, let every thought be a prayer. So our prayers are not just when we're in need. Our prayers are when we want to give gratitude, when we want to enjoy life. Our prayers are every moment that we want to align ourselves more deeply with the divine. Secondly, I engage in daily spiritual practices that keep me conscious of spirit. What might some of those be? Prayer, certainly. Meditation. Maybe reading the daily word in the morning. Maybe taking a walk and just seeing God in all of nature. I mean, that's where we each have to find our own, I think. But we make it, maybe it's setting your phone, which I've done sometimes like for 4 or 5 times a day, and every time the little alarm goes off, say to yourself, how am I doing now? How am I doing now about being aligned in spirit? And lastly, we choose activities that deepen our relationship with the divine. And again, those are individual activities for all of us. But I think one thing we can do is share those activities, talk to each other about them. You know, talk to each other about when do I feel closest to God. I think that's something we can do as a spiritual community. And so, as we set the intention, all of us together, to become increasingly more personally spirit-led, we are ready to be the means through which God expresses in our own lives, in our spiritual community, and in the world. We are open, we are willing, we are ready to bring together all of our God-given qualities and gifts to enrich lives in ways we cannot even imagine right now. And in that process, we are inviting and allowing infinite possibilities, and so it is. So let's take a moment, really for the third time today, and that's okay, to reaffirm principle number one in our statement, as our statement about God in the bulletin for people who are here for the first time. Let's just take a moment to affirm there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.